think anything prophetic is exciting. It's sort of like when you take an old topic and you read it again and you forget how it, you know, that feeling and what happens and how good it is, and you get all excited again. So let's start with prayer. Lord, I pray that each one listening would be blessed by your word tonight or whenever they're listening to this message. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would open hearts, and Jesus, that you would speak directly to each one. I pray that you would stir up the gifting in them, and even as they listen, that they would be aware of their gifting. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title tonight of the message is The Prophetic Part 1. And so if I get another turn, we'll do Part 2. But I thought we would just do an overview somewhat. A lot of new people are here at the church, and I thought if you're not familiar with prophetic, it'd be a good way to start learning. My background in this, so that you know where I'm coming from, some people are just born into prophetic, born, you know, into a family that was very charismatic or Pentecostal. I was born into zero and worked my way up at age 30 to a Methodist church where somebody talked me into going because my daughter was going to be baptized. And during the summer, we didn't have anything, so I went to a Bible study, and I got saved and delivered and filled with the Spirit all in one afternoon. It was a long afternoon. And then shortly after that, I was walking along the sidewalk at church one day, and the pastor was beside me, and he offered me some gum. And I said, "No, I'm good." And he says, no, take some gum. And I said, "I'm fine, I don't need any." And he goes, no, I want you to take some gum. And I said, "I'm fasting, so I'd rather not chew gum." And he went, "You're one of them." And I thought, what is them? Well, what does that mean? And so he said to me, "I've seen people, what's happening to you happen to people. You're welcome to stay here, but you might be happier down the road at the Parkway Temple on Volvo." So I lasted a year, and he was right. And yeah, but anyway, so that's my background of how I got in there. So I've had a little bit of Baptist Vacation Bible School, a little bit of Methodist, and then being at Harvest and being in the thick of it. I received some excellent advice from a leader once, and he said, "Don't ever just follow one stream. Follow 2 to 3 streams. So if you're following Bethel's prophetic, also do somebody else's prophetic. And if you listen to 2 or 3 streams, you'll be in balance. And plus, if one goes off somewhere, you've got something left there to stand with." And so that I do that a lot. So my training, I started with Bill Hammond's training, then went to Bethel and Reading, and then to Global Alliance in the United Kingdom in Scotland. So that's a pretty wide range right there. But they all play nice together. They're kind of all associated. So I believe that the main thing with the prophetic, because everybody has a different opinion and have seen different stuff about the prophetic, not always good. We haven't always been trained, mentored, or behaved ourselves, right? We think a little too much of ourselves sometimes. So the main thing, and I think it's not up there yet. Okay, there we go. In a book called Purifying the Prophetic, Lawrence Sanford says this: "Current streams of revival may be prophetic movements, but they must never be movements about the prophetic. They must be about revealing Jesus, which in turn is how we reveal the meaning of the Father's love and demonstrate it to be real." And I think that's one of the ways that the prophetic has gone off. It's all about, we just get so excited. It's like we found the gold ring. You know, we pick it up and talk about it all the time. And I think sometimes we forget to emphasize to people when we give them a word who it's from. And they think it's from us, and they think we're Superman or something, you know. We know we're not. So all of the gifts are expressions of love. They're not given for display or to make us important, but for love only. And we're supposed to glorify God and to use those gifts for the benefit of other people. It's not about us, right? So it can bring life or death. Either way, I've seen the prophetic do both. I saw somebody once after a training class. I was driving out of the parking lot, and I saw two people going. They weren't really like going at it, but I just discerned something was wrong. And somebody who didn't even go to the church we were at, was out there with her finger going like this at somebody, giving them a prophetic word, and I knew it had gone south. So I called the person later, and she had devastated this person. And so that's why no parking lot, no bathroom. Always have somebody with you as a witness. Okay. So we want it to bring life. It should bring life. Now, a false prophet, I've heard recently, a false prophet isn't necessarily somebody who gets a detail wrong, because we can all get details wrong, but it's somebody whose motive is wrong. So if the motive is to flatter you to get money or to do other things, that's not, you know, it's not God's will. So your motive has to be right. So on slide 4, they crammed all this in one slide for me. There we go. Look at that. So you need to memorize that by the end. I'm joking, okay? I'm joking. But in the New Testament, there are 3 categories of gifts that have prophet or prophecy in it, okay? So the first list is sometimes called motivational gifts, redemptive gifts, different terms. I'm really accurate. I call it Romans 12 gifts. Then I know I'm right. And those gifts are gifts of the Father, Father God. So they're usually identity. So you can see up there that prophet's underlined. So if you have this one, you're born with it. God gave it to you before you were born. So if you happen to have a ruler child and he's 2, he's bossy because he's trying to rule already. You just have to kind of help him a little bit, right? And so there's a prophet. You're born a prophet. I can usually tell them when I'm doing prayer ministry, immediately. And, you know, everything's wrong and everything's negative and, you know, and didn't you see this and don't you see that? And I'll say, yeah, but it's not my lane. So I teach them how to redeem what they're seeing. Nobody's taught them how to see. That God says, yes, I'm showing you this, but you need to engage him and say, what are you seeing? Why, how am I seeing it wrong? I'm seeing it through the flesh. How do you want me to see it? And is this my lane? If it's not my lane, I just back up and say, God, here it is. Let me know if I can do something, right? Sometimes we're only to pray, to intercede for it. Okay, in the second column, the 1 Corinthians 12, these are manifestation gifts that manifest. So anybody that's a believer and filled with the Spirit can manifest those gifts. I think sometimes we don't because we're just not thinking about it. Sometimes God will just do it whether you're ready or not, but sometimes. Now, if this in this column is prophecy, meaning an encouraging word, it doesn't mean you're a prophet, okay? It just means that every believer can prophesy an encouraging, comforting, edifying word. Now, what we call prophecy, what almost everybody calls prophecy, is actually a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and prophecy. Because we're saying, this I know about you, God showed me. And so he supernaturally showed you because you would not know that was going on. That gets their attention. And then this is what God wants you to do about it, which is a word of wisdom. And then here's what God is doing this for in your future. So it's usually a combination of those. You don't have to know which is which to do it. I don't even think I knew it was prophecy when I first did it. I thought I was just having a word for other people. So it doesn't matter. Third list is Ephesians 4:11, and those are office gifts. Now, the second column I forgot to mention are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians office gifts are gifts of Jesus Christ. He gives those. You can see that's a shorter list. We don't need as many of those. And I'll explain these a little more. All right, the motivational gift. If you look at the sentence right before Romans 12, you look at 4 and 5 instead of 6 to 8, it says, for just as each of these has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, keyword function. So in Christ, we through many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So it's saying function there, serve. What do you do? So that's in that first Romans 12 column, okay? So we may have one body, but many members, just like we have a body, but we have many members, okay? So the word function, implying sustained activity or responsibility. Okay. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of these is to exercise them accordingly. So if it's prophecy, we prophesy according to how much faith we had. When I went to Scotland for prophetic training, I had never seen anybody prophesy really long. I mean, just and on demand. They'd walk up to somebody, ask God for something, and 10 minutes later, and I'm like, how do you do that? So I had no faith. I had never done it. I had no faith. So to pass, you had to do that with a blindfold on, so you didn't even know who it was. And when I realized that there had been two classes before us, there's 200 a year they train, there had been two classes before us, and they had all done it, I went, they can do it, I can do it, right? And so my faith is built, and so every time they try something new, I go, we can do this, you know, and my faith builds. So your faith builds by also hanging around with other people that are prophetic, and you sharpen each other. You learn how to, just hearing somebody else prophesy can help you learn to do it better. Mm-hmm. So, in that first column, usually you have one dominant gift. Your prophet, your server, teacher, exhorter, giver, ruler, mercy. However, God has millions of people, and so he combines them in different ways so that you are what he needs. And you don't have to know what it is, you just have to know how to use it, okay? So I have three at the top that always come out the same. It's prophet, exhorter, teacher. Which if you would like to figure out what your motivational gift is, there's a quick test. And these three groupings are not all the gifts in Scripture. If you take Pastor Lori's course on becoming a new member, I think they have a test that includes more than this, okay? But gifttest.org is a really easy, I think it's about 30 questions. They have a child's test on there that you can take so that you can kind of train up your child in the way they should go. All right, second column, prophecy. So the needs of God's people can cause this to come about. So you can be somewhere, and all of a sudden, I think it's just because not many people are available is why I got chosen. I don't think sometimes I'm the best one. It's just nobody else in the room available. I mean, whatever and sometimes it's been uncomfortable because I thought, they're just going to say something not nice to me. Nobody ever has. You could just prophesy, and they just look at you and just kind of smile, you know. So, yeah. So you can use it anywhere. It is a wonderful gift to use for evangelism because you can ask God, what is something that you know or word of knowledge, something I can know about them that they're going to know it's you, God. Now, the gifts are perfect, but it comes through us, which means there's usually some issues. And so we have to be careful that we don't get so in the flesh and enjoy so much prophesying because it's all about us that we're not careful. If we have any kind of filter, we believe lies, we're prejudiced, we have opinions. Emma Stark in Scotland says, if you want to be a prophet, you can't be a Democrat and you can't be a Republican. You just ask God what he wants and you do what he says. You don't have an opinion. Otherwise, you will not hear. Otherwise, you're going to hear through what you think God's going to do. So if God is only going to bless us, then this is the way he's going to do it. And you can be wrong. Okay. Now, office of the prophet. It says, and we gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Prophets, office of the prophet, are conveyors of God's plans, purposes, instructions, blessings, and sometimes even judgments. If you just prophesy, don't do that one, okay? Don't be critical. You're not called to do that. Somebody will tell you if you're office of the prophet. Somebody will tell you if you're a prophet. Somebody, not a best friend, but A leader, usually somebody in leadership, will say, you know, I've been watching and I think you're prophetic. And at that point, you probably need somebody to group with a group somewhere. There are online groups. There's one here at Harvest. And learn to do it well. Okay. The office of the prophet isn't so much like a gift of prophecy. It's more like a role or a person. It's an office. Okay. And it should bless, just like a prophetic word, a prophecy would do. Okay. Now, if you look at the three gifts or the three columns, the differences in the three, there's differences in the three, so you can remember them, okay? The source of each one is different. Can you see, is this still up there? Yeah. So look, first one is Father, second Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is the third. The Romans 12 are identity gifts. So if it's about identity, it's probably Father. The Ephesians 4 is a calling like a pastor. So if you have that, you don't have to go around telling people you have it, because somebody's going to notice it, and God may not want, you're not mature enough. I mean, you're born a prophet, but, you know, you're probably born a pastor, but you don't show it when you're five. Now, some do, but not many, right? Pastor Matt was off, you know. Yeah, trying to preach at five, right? Preach something, right? All right. And so usually somebody will notice when God wants it to be noticed. I mean, people around you, friends or something, can say, you know, I think you don't just prophesy, but your prophesying is different. I think you're actually a prophet. But you need to go ask a leader. You need to ask somebody to be sure, instead of going around telling people you're a prophet. One of the local pastors in Elizabeth City, I just loved him. And he says, here's what we do with prophets, especially, you know, the ones that arrive and they tell me they're a prophet. He said, I say to them, oh, we're so excited that you're here. We want you to sit on the front row every Sunday. And we don't want you to do anything for 6 months. Just sit there and rest before you start doing anything. And he said, the next Sunday, they're not back. So I thought, what a good idea, right? Okay. And then Romans 12 gifts are how we serve. So Romans 12 is serving in our passion. 1 Corinthians 12 is manifestation. Ephesians 4 is a person. So sometimes God will allow the prophet or the office of the prophet to be unseen until it's the right timing. I didn't know for years. Now, looking back, if I had known some of the mentors that are training me, if I had known stuff, I would have known, but I was probably way too immature to know what to do with it. So it was good God hit it. All right. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, pursue love, and desire spiritual gifts. So we're to desire them, not to shun them off. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Isn't that neat? He says everybody should prophesy. Everybody. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody needs encouraging words. And you can do it over the phone. You can do it in a greeting card and send it to somebody. All kinds of ways that you can in the morning say, God, is there anybody you want to encourage today? And send them an email or do something to encourage them. So we're to hunger for them. We're to go after them, okay? The goal of all the spiritual gifts is to empower you to serve others for the purpose of building up the church and to impact the world. And it should be out of love. Shouldn't be critical. People already know what they're doing wrong. And they're probably struggling with it. I mean, we condemn ourselves enough without anybody else having to help on it, right? Okay. All the gifts, all of these are tools. So if you think of it that way, it's just a tool belt. So if you're not using them all, you could try them. You could be safe with friends in a small group or a best friend and say, I'm going to try to do a word of knowledge. And here's what that is. And here, tell me if I'm right or I'm wrong, you know? But you may be hard with a friend because you know too much, right? Okay. They're tools, not medals for super Christians. They are meant to be used in service for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. So it doesn't mean because you hear God and you prophesy that you're any more special than anybody else. It just means you allowed God to use you. So if you remember that, because some of the words that you give other people are amazing. And some of those words are not for you to repeat, but it belongs to them to say it when they want to say it. I mean, if they're, you're just encouraging them, that's fine. But if you're telling them details about a future or details that they may not want known yet, then you ask permission. You ask permission for that. Okay. How much time do we have? Okay. Everybody prophesies different. If you take the motivational gifts, the seven, and you take those gifts and you prophesy through those gifts, it all looks different. Like, I have a prophetic team. I have rulers, I have prophets, and I have compassion people in there. And when they give a word, absolutely different. Like Betty. Everybody knows Betty the usher, right? And Carolyn, is Carolyn's not here, right? Okay, with white hair. Carolyn sits right back there. And June and Kim that sit over here. Okay, when they prophesy, you have been comforted. Trust me. Their compassion, their mercy just oozes out all over you. And if we're all prophesying, you know, Arika and Beth and Harold and I, we come in with boom, ba-doo, you know, and they're like, you've had a hard week. God just loves you. And so it's good to end with that. But all their words are like that. Just their voice is different. They're kind of like this, you know. And sometimes I'll say, could you speak up? We're trying to record it, you know. And then you get the, this is the way it is. This is, you know. I believe God picks specifically the person that needs to give the word. Because it, you don't scream a mercy word. You know, you have to look at, you know, the different gifts. Okay. Tony, that usually sits about right here, he called me one day and wanted to go to coffee on the table. And I'm thinking, this is a good coffee, right? And he said, that $80 is to invest in you. He said, you're an apostle. And I don't know that you know that. And I'm just staring at him like, is he off or is he, you know, is he being funny? And then he went on for 30 minutes explaining it. You know, that's Tony. And he went through some specifics. He said, but I'm investing in you, and I'm just telling you today from today. You know, I went, okay. He didn't know, and I don't even know if I told him, that 15 years ago I was in a church one Sunday. A lady was there who had never been to the church before, and I don't know if she ever came again. She was visiting with a friend. She walks over to me after the service, and she says to me, and she's shaking. So you can tell she was being obedient, but she was like, I really don't want to do this, right? And she's shaking like this, and she says, the Lord told me to give you $4 $5 bills. Same thing Tony did. And God says that you're going to go to all four corners of the earth. And I'm sitting there going, is that biblical? We have four corners. You know? Anyway, she said, God told me to do this and that you're going to go to all four corners of the earth. You're going to travel. So, you know, I went, okay, confirmation. We got some, and I like the money thing. Anybody want to give me a word? Usually the words don't come with finances, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, we got 5 minutes. Okay, I wanted to share this. The foundation for all gifts, you know, sort of like everything goes back to Jesus in Sunday school, okay? Well, everything and all the gifting and everything we do goes back to three things. Hear God with clarity and accuracy. We always need to hear God. Even if you don't want to prophesy, you don't want to be a prophet, and you don't want to be office of the prophet, doesn't matter, you still need to hear God. Otherwise, you're disobeying, and you're going to get in trouble. Second, you need to be free of filters, which are lies that would hinder opinions, prejudices, whatever's wrong. You got to get rid of that to live a good Christian life. And then know the word. There's no way away. You don't say, well, Pastor Matt and Lori need to know the word, but I don't have to. I just come on Sunday. Your life will be a train wreck if you don't know the word. And you just learn it at the level you can learn it at. You don't have to go to Revelation and start, or Numbers. You know, you can ask God where to start, okay? We have a prophetic group here at Harvest. We meet in the afternoons on Sunday afternoons about 2:30. That gives us time to go to the second service, have lunch, and be back. And there are about 15 to 20, usually about 10 show up, depends on what's going on. We don't have it this weekend because we have 4th of July and we're just, you know, letting that on. And Awakening Night, Sundays, we don't do it. But you're welcome to come and sit in and just see what it looks like. We've had people come in that have had absolutely no training, two of them recently. And they just sat in, they wrote out what the word was that they got, but they didn't share it. And after they came up to me and they were right on, absolutely done well. And so the next week when we had a mystery guest and they wrote out a word for them, I let them give that word. And I checked it first, and I'm like, they're already on it. It's beautiful. So if you'd like to do that, my contact information is in the app on the notes for this message, okay? So let's see. Let's pray. I think we're going to land right here. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the rich gifts that you have given in the church, the body. I pray that you would help each of us to identify how you've gifted us. Stir up the gifts in us and then help us to be productive using gifts that you give us. You're the giver. We're the recipients of gifts for your glory. Help us to be faithful and use them with integrity. Thank you for the many ways you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So go use your gifts and give us the testimonies.